I think everyone in here has been through some path or stretch in your life where you've been desperate for relief, desperate for an answer, desperate for reconciliation of a relationship, desperate to make things right. We've all been there. We're living in a time right now that these are desperate times. There's a lot of things going on that if you look at that, you could get very discouraged. And you could try to do things on your own. And everybody's trying to find relief. Everybody's trying to find joy. Everybody's trying to find peace. But these are desperate times. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. The title of my message this morning is A Desperate Man. You may have seen this passage before. It's in the life of David. And we'll bring you up to speed on what happened in the first 20 chapters of Samuel before we get into our main text today. But David was at his wit's end. He was a desperate man. The situation around him was very desperate and very discouraging. And he tries to put matters in his own hands and he finds out that they don't work. And he ignored what God had given him, the victory. So we're going to be looking at all of 1 Samuel chapter 21. But before we start this message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you that it's finished. Lord, we thank you that you give us grace. You give us mercy. You give us love. And Lord, I just ask that you just be with us time, Lord, that you bind Satan on our behalf, that you just help your Holy Spirit have full reign here. That your truth would be spoken clearly, Lord, that it would change our lives. Lord, I pray that someone does not know you as Savior, that today they would understand that. And they would accept your free gift of salvation. Father, I pray for those that are here that are desperate. And Father, they don't do what David did, but they realize that you've given them everything that they need in order to get out of the desperation. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and read it and to preach it and to hear it. Lord, be with this service today and change our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In way of introduction, the book of Samuel is about the prophet Samuel and about his actions and the other things that are going on in Israel at that time. We know that Samuel was was a baby of promise to Hannah and Elkanah. And that Samuel was given back to the Lord and he becomes a great prophet. And God wanted everybody just to follow him. But we know that sometimes we all want to be just like the world. And Israel just wanted to be like the world. And they say to Samuel, make us a king just like every other country. Folks, a Christian shouldn't look like everybody else. A Christian should live a life that's different. So, it starts out with some protest, but Saul is made king. Saul is given some instruction. He says, you need to follow God with all of your heart. You need to follow His word. You need to do the right thing. When He speaks to you, you need to follow that to the letter. Well, Saul disobeys God. God tells him to go out and take on a nation called the Amalekites. They were mortal enemies to the Israelites. God said, you need to fix this. You're the king. You lead your people out to take care of this. And when you do this, don't keep anything. Destroy it all. But Saul disobeys. And he keeps back what he thinks is good for a sacrifice to God. But he didn't do what God says. God wants us to do everything He tells us to do 100%. Not what we think. So, Saul disobeys God. God says, Samuel, he's not going to be king much longer. And Samuel goes and anoints David as the future king. We know that David is called a man after God's own heart. But we also know that David had the same passions that we did. He was stuck in immorality. He was stuck in being scared. Today he's stuck in being desperate. Not looking for the long term, but looking right at the short term and what was happening to him right then. So David anointed by Samuel, and then David goes out and he kills Goliath when everybody in the nation of Israel is shaking in their boots at the taunts of this giant. Saul didn't do it. The army didn't do it. Nobody would stand up for Israel except David. And he says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Don't you hear what this guy is saying about you, God? To the Israelites. And so David slews the giant that no one else could take on. No one else would take on. It's not an issue could take on. It's an issue would take on. And then Saul gets jealous. All of a sudden, David is now the national hero. People sing to him. Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s. And they give more honor to David than they give to the king. God is elevating David to be king. Saul gets jealous. Now, Saul has a son. His name is Jonathan. Jonathan befriends David because they are of a like mindset. You need to surround yourself with people that are just like you, but basically Christian, so they can help one another. And we see that David and Jonathan were helping one another. And Jonathan knew what God's will was for David. Jonathan had a rightful heir to the throne in man's eyes. But God was in this. David was anointed to be king. So Jonathan stands up for David. Jonathan protects David. Jonathan goes to his dad and says, hey, why do you hate him so much? He's not done anything wrong to you. Because Saul tries to kill David. In chapter 18, he throws a javelin at him. Misses. That didn't work, so he comes up with another great idea. He says, hey, I'll give you my daughter if you go out and you kill 100 Philistines. Thinking that David would get killed by the Philistines. That didn't work. And everything that David did prospered. Everything that Saul did not. And so Saul is now on this mindset, I got to get rid of him because my sons won't rule on the throne. So he tries to kill David. He tries to get David killed. And in chapter 20, we see this meeting in the field between Jonathan and David. David didn't show up for the king's feast at the beginning of the month at the new moon. Saul was very angry and said, I want to kill him. Jonathan stands up for him and basically says, you're the son of a perverse woman. Saul is just mad about this thing with David. Jonathan comes out. He tells David what's going on. He says, you can't come back. You can't come back to the palace. See, David was part of the court. David was son-in-law to the king. David was a general in the army. He says, you can't come back. But promise me this. When you become king, take care of my family, and I'll take care of yours. And they make this pact. So David has this death sentence on him from Saul. Saul is trying to run him down. Everywhere he can, he's going to kill him. And David becomes a desperate man. Now we come to chapter 21. There are four things that David does here that we might try to do if we become desperate ourselves. The first thing he does is in verse 1, he says, desperate man runs to save himself. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 21, it says, Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? See, Nob was called the high place. It was a small hill that was on the north side of Jerusalem. It's where all the priests were at. And Ahimelech was the priest at that time. See, David goes to the right place. Sometimes when we're desperate, we will go to the right place. We'll come to God's house. And we'll see if we could find answers. There are answers here. There are answers from the preaching of His Word. He goes to the right place. He goes to the right people. He goes to the priest. And He's asking for help. And we should help other people that are in desperate need. But the problem with David is that he goes for the wrong reason. He's just trying to save himself. Saul is chasing him, trying to run him down. And he needs some stuff, and he's going to come to the church. He's going to come to the priest. See, there's an awful lot of us at times. We just come to church when we need something. We come to church when we're desperate, and that's okay. But that should not be the case all the time. And so a desperate man runs to save himself because that's the only thing he can think of is himself. There's a danger in that, folks. There's a danger in just thinking about yourself and not of others, especially not of God.
Right.
So David goes to the right place, but he goes to the right people, but he goes for the wrong reason. He just wants stuff. He just wants stuff that'll take care of it because a desperate man determines to get what he wants on his terms. In verses 2 through 8 it says, "And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of this business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? I want it all. I want it all. Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young man had kept themselves at least for a moment." Oh, there's a condition. Yeah, we got it. We got it. And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. We haven't done any immoral things over the last 3 days. We deserve the bread. We're hungry. And the bread is in a manner common. It's no longer on the showbread table. It's been taken off and replaced. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hallowed bread. For there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. You know, God knows exactly what problem you're in. God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you're doing. God knows exactly how you're thinking about these situations. And so there's an enemy in the camp. He says, "There was a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." See, sometimes when we get desperate, we're going to say anything that we want to say in order to get what we need. And so David, a man that will eventually become out of God's own heart, deceives the priest. The priest says, "Hey, there's something wrong with you, David. Where is your entourage? Where are all your royal garments? Where are you? You're by yourself with a small band of men here. I just don't understand what's going on here." And it says here in verse 1, he says he was afraid. And see, we just want what we want. We don't care how we get it. We just want it our way. And David's going to say everything he can in order to convince the priest to give him the stuff. And so he deceives. He says, "The king sent me on this business, and no one can know about it. It's a secret. Don't go you telling me where I am." But Doeg was there. So, when you get desperate, do you come to God or do you deceive people around you saying, "I want what I want"? He says, "I want the showbread. I want the showbread." Now, this was supposed to be for the priest. However, This is actually used as an illustration by Jesus in John, in the book of John. One day the disciples are walking through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and they pick up a piece of ears of corn, and they're rubbing the kernels off, and they're eating them. And the Pharisees say, "Hey, you can't do that. This is a Sabbath day. You're doing work." See, God's not as concerned about the letter of the law as he is about the spirit of the law. God's concerned about what we're supposed to do, why we're doing it, the motivation. David's got the wrong motivation here. He just wants stuff. He doesn't want God. He goes to the right place, he goes to the right people, but he doesn't go for the right reason. And Jesus tells, he says, "Hey, Pharisees," when they accuse him of doing this, he said, "Have you not read what David did? How David went to the priest and demanded the showbread that was only for the priest, and the priest, because he saw a need of David, and he wanted to meet that need, he gave them that." The only thing that was, the only issue here was, wasn't an issue of you're a priest or not, it was an issue of whether or not you were ceremonially clean or not. See, the point is it doesn't matter what you do on the outside, it's what sweaters on the inside. And Ahimelech actually went and besought God about this, and God said, "Yeah, you go ahead and give it to him." But David wasn't looking for the provision of God, he just wanted stuff now. And doesn't that like what we are when we're desperate? We want the solution now. We want things to fix our problem now. And we're going to do anything we can in order to get it. And we ignore God in the process. He says he desires a showbread. He says, "I'm hungry. Give me the stuff. Whatever you have, I'll take it all." There's people like that today. They're desperate. And they're looking for something to fulfill their physical need instead of the greater need that they have. He says he demands a weapon. He says, "I got to go fight my battles for myself now." If God was in this, this wouldn't have ever happened to me. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt you got in a situation where you become desperate and say, "God's not hearing me. I'm going to fight my own battles"? The battle belongs to the what? To the Lord. So he goes here, and it appears that he has forgotten what's there. He says, "Do you have a spear? Do you have a sword? I just need anything. Anything will do. I'm desperate. I need to fight my battle, this king's business that I can't tell you about." And he goes, he says, "I've never brought..." And then he even deceives himself. He even deceives himself. In verse 8 it says here, he says, "For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." Well, the king's business was trying to kill him. Yeah. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to wait on the Lord. We're supposed to wait patiently for him. If you try to rush God's will, it won't happen. Don't get desperate. Look at what the end is coming. Look at the end state. And not what's going on to you right now, because what's going on right now can make you desperate. What happens in the end will give you victory. And we try to talk ourselves in and say, "My way is the right way. What I need is the most important thing right now. I need food. I need a weapon. I have to fight my own battles. Let's not talk about what God's about in here." And he deceives himself. God works methodically. God works slowly. Sometimes it takes years for someone to come to saving knowledge. Sometimes it takes years for us to make a decision for God. But God wants to conform us to his image. So the desperate man tries to save himself, and he runs to save himself, trying to do everything he can in his power. And when he can't get it in his power, he goes to other people and he says, "I need this stuff my way. My way." Which leads us to the third point. A desperate man dismisses the providence of God. David is no longer looking at God. Go right place, around right people. But his mindset is not there. Because if his mindset had been there, he would have realized what had just happened or what's going to happen in him. See, when we become desperate, we often lose sight of God. And we try to do things our own. And we just want to meet our physical needs and not look at the bigger spiritual problem, the end goal. And David misses the significance of the bread. This was holy bread. This was God's bread. This was all the things that God could provide for him. This represents the manna in the wilderness. This represents a provision for the journey. Elijah, later on, is going to be fed by ravens for the journey that he has to go on. The widow at Zarephath got meal extended for the things. God's in control of the bread. God's in control of everything. But is God in control of your hunger? Do you hunger for the physical thing or do you hunger for the spiritual thing? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In John chapter 6 verse 27 it says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father had sealed him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things be added unto you. God knows that you have need. Christ told his disciples when he's at the well of Samaria, he says, my meat is to do the will of God. David misses it. And when we become desperate, we miss the point of God. We miss the point of his provision. We miss the point of all these things that he gives us supernaturally. He misses the significance of the sword. So he asks Ahimelech, he says, hey, do you have a spear or sword? Kind of giving us the impression that he doesn't know what's there, but there is a sword there. In 1 Samuel 21, verse 9, it says, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is none other save that. And David said, boy, that's a good one. There's none like that. Give it to me. Give it to me so I can fight my battle. Give it to me. Give me the bread so I can get on my journey. That bread would last for one meal, folks. That weapon had significance. And if David had been thinking about it, but in his desperation he forgot about it, he's missed the point. Here's what happened with that sword. In chapter 17, verse 51, it says, Therefore David ran. We know how David attacked Goliath with a sling, right? He hit him with a rock, fell down. But to have total victory, what did you do? You cut off the head of your enemy. He didn't have a sword, but look at this. It says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and threw it out of the sheath thereof. And drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. That's victory. He cut off the head of the enemy with his sword. But see, David only wanted it for his physical protection, not understanding the spiritual significance of this. And then look at what happens. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. This is a sword that caused everybody to flee. This is the sword of the enemy. But the Bible says in Isaiah, says there is no weapon fashioned against us that will what? Shall prosper. Folks, when you're desperate, you run to save your life. When you're desperate, you go to places and all you want to do is you want to fulfill your need. Give me my physical provision. Help me fight my own battles. And in the process, you dismiss the providence of God. You dismiss the protection of God. You dismiss the provision of God. You dismiss all the things that God had done in the past. You dismiss the victories that God had given you before. You know, this could have been a great movie. David could have picked up that sort of... Wow! I remember now! This is going to change everything! I'm in the right place with the right people. I got the right stuff. This will change everything, but people want to stay desperate. Dismiss God and stay desperate. So this solves David's problem, right? Now, he just keeps on going himself. And a desperate man stays desperate without God. And that's my point this morning. A desperate man stays desperate without God. In verses 10 through 15, and David arose. He got the bread, got the sword. He leaves the people of God. He leaves the place of God. And he goes to Gath. Gath was a Philistine city. He goes to the enemy. And he's so desperate to get away from Saul because he says, well, Saul won't go against Philistines. That'll be safety. There's safety in God, not in God's enemies. And David arose and fled that day for fear of who? Fear of Saul. Now, wait a second. Samuel has told David that he's going to be king. God said it. And if God said it, it's going to what? Happen. The disciples, when they got in the boat, were going to go on the other side. The storm comes up. He said, we're all going to die! God said, Christ said, we're going to get the other side. Doesn't matter how many storms, doesn't matter how desperate you get, you're going to get to the other side.
Right.
If you don't dismiss what God has provided for you, he's carrying in his hand a Goliath sword. Don't you think when he shows up in the Philistines that they recognize what that sword was? Don't they knew who David was? Look at this. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? You know, the world knew more about David than David did. Did they not sing one another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? He's our mortal enemy. He killed our champion. But see, desperate men turning their back on God do desperate things. And David laid up these words in his heart. He heard that. And was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. You know something? You become desperate, you get afraid of everything. And everyone. And you get a persecution complex. And you think everybody's after you. God's for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he changed his behavior before him and feigned himself mad in their hands. And scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He starts scraping on the gate, drooling down his beard to basically say, I'm not kingly anymore. I just want safety from my physical enemy. Not looking to God. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see, the man's mad. Folks, when you dismiss God, you are mad. When you turn your back on God and you have the weapon of God in your hands and you don't realize what it is. You have the bread of God in your stomach and you don't know what that is. You have all these provisions, you don't know what that is. That's madness. Then said Achish to his servants, lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? He says, I want nothing to do with this dude. Have I need of madmen? I got enough problems. I don't need another one. He's the smartest one of the bunch. David has problems. He just keeps on building them up. That ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence, shall this fellow comes into my house. See, a desperate man stays desperate without God. He keeps on running. He keeps on running. He even denies himself that God, who won the victory in his life before, is insufficient to win the victory that he has right now. Now, we have the benefit of hindsight. We can see what this is. But you know, sometimes we get in a desperation and we forget where we are. And we forget the same God is still there. And he knows. And he knows. He denies himself and then he gets despised by all. He's no good to himself. He's no good to the Israelites. He's no good to the Philistines. He's no good to anybody. You know what that does? It makes you more desperate. And it just keeps on feeding on this stuff until we get it right. We should never be desperate with Christ. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, I'll close with this. It says, we are troubled. This is what Paul writes. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you're desperate this morning, come to Christ. Amen. Come to Christ. If you don't know Him as your Savior, if you died right now and you wouldn't go to heaven, you're desperate. In the worst way. You have the wrath of God abiding on you right now and you need to get saved. You need to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose the third day to show that He paid the penalty for your sins and gives you life eternal.
Amen.
And when we start an invitation here, this will be an opportunity. Come forward and we'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved.
Amen.
And you can leave here knowing you're going to heaven.
Amen.
For us Christian, sometimes we lose sight of God. We become desperate in ourselves. We try to solve all these things. Stop trying to solve your problems yourself. Give them to God. Let's have the faith to look at the long-term thing and not the short-term problem. We're supposed to fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. We need to understand what that means. It means get right with God today. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me this time of invitation, Father, to search our hearts. Help us to get right with You. Help us, Lord, not to be desperate, but to cast all our care on You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.